Greetings and welcome to the Marion Minute, a podcast where we take a look at what's going on in beautiful Marion County, Florida. I'm your host, Matt Creedle. In this episode, we'll get an update on the litter task force from its chair, Beth McCall. She'll tell us about the makeup of the task force and its committees, their processes for addressing litter in Marion County, and the final report delivered at the July 19th regular meeting of the Marion County Board of County Commissioners. We'll also hear from Chelsea Jones with 4-H of Marion County and Gabriel Vicari of Water Management. They'll talk about the role of the IFAS Extension Office, how their summer programs have gone, and more importantly, how you can get involved. Finally, we'll hear from the county engineer, Elton Holland, on how his office handles growth around the county, some upcoming road and trail projects, and the types of projects he enjoys the most. All that and much more coming up in this episode of the Marion Minute Podcast. At the July 19th regular meeting of the Marion County Board of County Commissioners, the Litter Task Force and its members were recognized for their work in crafting a plan to combat litter issues around the county. We'll start this episode of the podcast with a conversation with the task force chair. We're joined now by Beth McCall, the Director of Talent Development for the Ocala Metro CEP. Beth is also the chairperson for the Litter Task Force. Hello, Beth. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
So thanks for joining us. So I want to talk first at the July 19th BOCC meeting. The Litter Task Force presented its final presentation and the board had a public hearing and adopted some new and updated litter ordinances.
That is correct. I want to thank the County Commission, especially Vice Chair Craig Curry, for his diligence in making sure that the task force stayed on task and that we were able to present a final report to them. It was great to be there to thank all of the committee members, the 28 committee members that served. They met regularly, and to be recognized today was quite special.
I know at the recognition portion that you mentioned, it was nice. There were flowers and plaques, and it seemed like it was a good culmination, but not a finality of the litter task force.
Correct.
It was a good culmination of the work that y'all have done.
Correct. Well, the task force has concluded its work, so we are no longer a task force, but the members of the task force have all told me that they want to stay involved through the implementation because it's such an important issue for our county.
And talk about the litter task force in general and kind of the purpose behind everyone involved with the group.
So, you know, I always knew there was litter as well as everybody else. But when you are on the task force and you're challenged to come up with solutions, you really start noticing that it is truly a very large problem in our communities, in our waterways, along our roadsides, as people come into our gateways. So it really, the pride in our community, I think, is lacking. And so that's one of the things we want to do is bring that back.
And you mentioned there were about almost 30 people involved with the task force. Talk about the background of the people and then the committees that you had throughout the task force.
We had people involved from the county level. We had school system. We had all of the municipalities involved. The fish and fresh water, the game people involved. We had private citizens involved. So we really looked at a broad base to help us come up with this plan.
So it looked like there was a good, like you said, a broad swath of individuals from a lot of different government agencies, private citizens, and they really
Correct.
All could provide a different viewpoint from their
Absolutely.
Backgrounds coming in.
That is absolutely 100% correct. And we had, you know, several that lived in other communities within the county from the forest area where there's a tremendous problem out there. So, yes, it was a very diverse group.
So, as I mentioned at the July 19th BOCC meeting, they adopted some litter ordinances. You want to talk about the remedies that the task force came up with and how they're going to be implemented to really negate the litter problem and clean out what we currently have.
So, I need to talk about the committees that were formed within the task force to do that. First of all, a very special thank you to State Attorney Bill Gladson. And his committee, who headed up the ordinance and enforcement, they looked at all of our ordinances and felt like that we really didn't have a lot of teeth to really penalize people for littering, for illegal dumping. So those ordinances today that the county commissioners approved, we now have some teeth in the game. And we can actually penalize people in a very different way and make them pay for the littering and the dumping. So I'm very pleased with all of that. Bill deserves a lot of credit. He worked really hard. He had a passion for this. He wanted to be able to put people in front of a judge and have them pay for what they're doing to our county. We had our marketing committee, which was headed up by Antoinette Davis. We actually have, the county commission hired Neptune, a marketing firm that has come up with a great branding, a great logo, and I think it's going to make everybody proud. And it's easy, going to be easy to understand what it says and what we want you to do. We had our fiscal committee, which was headed up by John Paglia III. And John's committee looked at what it was costing us for litter and ways that we could possibly eliminate that litter and eliminate that cost. And then our community outreach committee, headed by Lauren Debick of the executive director of community outreach for the school system, put a tremendous plan together that when the county commission is ready, we can get everybody involved. One of the keys is involving our schools. And with Lauren being with the school, she understands this. If we can get our kids to make their parents feel guilty about throwing that piece of trash out, that just works wonders. So we think we have the right things in place. We want to change the culture, change the mindset. Think about putting it in the trash can rather than on the ground. Think about being a proud citizen of Marion County and that you want our county to look beautiful. So that's, we're trying to change the culture.
And you're exactly right. I want to give a shout out to Lauren as well. I think she did a great job. And I heard it mentioned in some of the workshops and at the meeting where it's not just about the ordinances, but it's more kind of what you touched on, the hearts and minds. And that starts with the kids and changing that Absolutely. Mindset, as you said, and really allowing, especially a lot of the new residents to Marion County, along with those of us that have grown up here, to really take pride in the county that we live in and make it the best and most beautiful place it can be.
Without a doubt, we want to change that mindset. But if you are going to litter and dump, you're going to pay a price, a stiff price now. So we want to send that message, but our whole goal is to change the culture and make everybody want to be proud of our county.
Okay. Anything else litter task force related?
Just stay tuned that when implementation starts, you will be hearing a lot. Stay tuned.
And we'll definitely have updates here on the Marion Minute podcast as well. That was Beth McCall, Director of Talent Development for the Ocala Metro CEP and also the chairperson for the Litter Task Force. Thanks, Beth, for joining us.
Thank you, Matthew.
It's no secret that Marion County has a large agricultural component. It also prides itself on its natural resources. All you got to do is look at the county seal and you'll see. Organizations such as 4-H and IFAS are a large part of the reason why ag has such a strong presence in the county. And we'll hear from two individuals on how 4-H and water resources help do their part to promote programs in the county. I'm joined now by Chelsea Jones, an extension agent with 4-H of Marion County, and Gabriel Vicari of Water Resources. How are y'all?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Oh, well, thank you very much. So, Gabriel, we'll start with you. Talk a little bit about the mission of IFAS, or the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, here in Marion County.
So our main goal of extension is to provide solutions for your life. That's kind of our quote. And we make knowledge accessible to the community to enhance like the quality of life within the community. And extension in general and University of Florida has extension agents in every county in Florida. And we cover all kinds of issues from protection of natural resources, 4-H, health and wellness, and even agriculture.
Extension's my absolute favorite. It's just, I love coming to y'all's office. There's plants, there's animals, there's programs, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to be going on when you come into our office.
Yeah, so. It's so exciting. And so, Chelsea, talk about the mission of 4-H.
Yeah, so the overall mission of Florida 4-H is that we use a learn-by-doing approach in caring adults to help youth gain the knowledge and life skills they need to be productive and responsible citizens. And everything we try to do is hands-on. The kids are doing the work. that sort of thing. So it's a pretty neat program.
So how's the summer going for both of y'all? Chelsea, we'll stay with you.
Yeah, so our summer for 4-H has been very busy between competitions. We've done a couple of summer camps. One of the big things that we did was we sent a group of teenagers to Tallahassee for a 4-H legislature, which is a statewide program. And the kids actually get a chance to be a representative or a lobbyist or a senator. And they go to Tallahassee and they take over the Capitol. So that was really cool to do that. And they learned the process of passing bills and government in Florida. And then also we did some summer camps for our little ones, for our Clover Buds ages 5 to 7. We did a camp, and then we also did an ag industry camp for kids to learn about the different agricultural industries here in Florida and Marion County. There's always something going on in summer, and now we're gearing up for our annual awards banquet. So that's the next on the docket.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. Yep. Gabriel, how's summer going for water resources?
Pretty good. Pretty busy. Starting in spring, we did a couple cool rain barrel programs, and we just finished up with those in the middle of June. That's been fun. And then we're going to talk about water school in a little bit, but right now I'm spending a lot of my time with all the moving parts and getting that planned up for the fall.
We will talk about water school in just a minute, but now we're going to talk about the awards that were won. So Chelsea, I saw on some of the Facebook pages that, you know, mentioned awards. There were some award won. You want to talk about those?
Yeah. So in Marion County, we have a long tradition of our judging teams, and that continues to this day. We actually have 3 judging teams that won the state competition here in Florida. So that's our poultry judging, our horticulture judging, and our meat judging team. So they won the state competition. So now they're going to have the opportunity to go on to the national competitions for each program. So we'll have kids going to Baltimore, Maryland. We'll have people going to Kansas City, and then also Louisville, Kentucky. So they're going to represent all of Florida 4-H, and they're all kids from here in Marion County that have worked really hard. We also had a group of kids go to the National Shooting Sports Competition a couple weeks ago.
Just racking up the hardware.
Yeah. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to have our annual awards banquet. So we're going to recognize kids for their work that they've done this entire year. With their project areas ranging from animals to robotics to archery and that sort of thing. So there's a project or an idea, they can probably do it in 4-H. So
I'm going to need a bigger trophy case.
Yeah, imagine, right? Yeah, definitely going to need a bigger trophy case.
So after all that winds up, I know the 4-H year starts on September 1st. How do you get ready for that?
Gearing up for that, the enrollment will open August 1st on 4-H Online. So it's v2.4honline.com. So all of our enrollment's online. And a lot of our youth are in community clubs. So, and we have clubs all over the county. If anyone's interested in joining a club, we encourage them to call our office, 352-671-8400. And we can set you up with clubs that we think might be a good fit for your youth or your kids. We also have school clubs. So there are some of the schools that have clubs that are ran by the teachers. So yeah, another great way to stay up to date with our most recent information is with our Facebook page. So it's Marion County FL 4-H.
And I like that page. That's where I saw the awards pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And Gabriel, you mentioned water school. You kind of touched on it a little bit. And so not only does school get started here in a couple of weeks, but water school gets started as well.
Yes, sir. So water school is a program I'm putting together. It's only a 2-day event. It's going to happen October this year. But it's built around targeting elected leaders, public officials, and community leaders, and educating them about water resources in our region. This year, we're going to be talking about a few topics in particular. One is Marion County hydrology, then some watershed management, agricultural waste composting, new septic technologies to treat nitrogen and fertilizer impacts, and then soil health composition and regeneration, all based around water conservation. And so the goal here is to invite commissioners, mayors, other community leaders, and help our decision makers make informed decisions about water. And so all this stuff is just so we can kind of capture the way water moves through our environment and how we can protect our local water resources, the springs and surface water bodies.
Okay. Anything else going on in 4-H land?
In 4-H land, where there's always something going on, Another great opportunity for youth outside of our clubs is we do have a county council. So that's for youth ages 12 to 18. And we focus a lot on leadership and team building, communication, that sort of thing. And they actually will be the ones running our award banquet. So they are the leaders in our county. So if anyone has any youth between those ages that sounds like something they would be interested in, just give our office a call. And we meet the first Monday of every month.
And there's a lot going on in 4-H land.
Yeah, there is. So it's hard to remember it all.
You did a good job, though.
Yeah, thank you. So we're always open for new members and also new volunteers. So the more, you know, volunteers we have, the more programming we can do and reach more youth.
All right. Gabriel, anything going on? Anything else going on in water resources land?
Sure. Yeah. So water, you know, kind of impacts everything in our community. It's everywhere. And so there's a lot of treatment, home water treatment classes that I do, garden and farm irrigation, septic education and environmental conservation stuff. So keep an eye out for programs like that. Everyone's invited to those. And pretty much anything water is what I cover. And so we are a resource for the community. So if you ever have any questions on anything water in the community, you can reach out to me. If I don't have an answer for you, we can talk to specialists at UF. That's what they're there for. And then I'm also partnered with the county. And so any of the hardworking professionals here in the county that can answer those questions, I'll reach out to as well. So we're here for you. We're your resource.
Okay. And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can call the office, the 352-671-8400 was the same number, I think.
Yep.
Chelsea mentioned.
And we have agents in our office that cover a wide variety of topic areas. We have, you know, livestock agents, sustainable agriculture, our Florida-friendly landscaping agent, as well as a family and consumer sciences agents. So we definitely, if you don't know a lot about extension, do encourage you. We're here to help, like you said, solutions for your life. So if you ever have a question about extension, just give us a call and we'll be happy to answer it.
All right. Will do. Well, that was Chelsea Jones. She is an extension agent with 4-H of Marion County, and Gabriel Vicari of Water Resources. Thanks, Gabriel. Thanks, Chelsea, for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you've driven on a road, biked on a trail, or stopped at a stoplight within Marion County. The Office of the County Engineer is responsible for developing and maintaining roads and all that goes with them. But that's just one part of what they do. Next, we'll hear from the County Engineer about his office, the scope of their work, and how they handle a growing Marion County. I'm joined now by the Marion County Engineer, Elton Holland. Elton, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we'll start out with you. How long have you been with the county, and how long have you been county engineer?
So I've been with the county since 2010, got hired in as a stormwater project manager, and moved into design engineer, transportation engineer, assistant county engineer, and last year in July became county engineer.
So it's your office now.
It is. Okay. It is. And it's a great place to be. I can tell you that. There's been a lot of great leadership through the years and awful lucky from that regard.
So we had a chance in the last podcast episode to talk with Parks and Recreation Director Jim Collard about the improvements coming to the Dunellen Trail. But that's one of many trails around Marion County. What about other improvements like over in the Pruitt Trailhead? How are those coming along?
So trails are a priority for us here in this community, and we've been lucky to find the ability and coordination with FDOT and find state dollars to do those programs. The first stretch we did was from Santos all the way down to 200, and that was a two-phase project that was coordinated with as a design build project with FDOT. And it was very exciting to work on. Got to go over I-75, work through that process, working with Greenways and Trails and with the state. Just really provided a feature to this community we're very proud of. And from 200 moving west to the Pruitt Trailhead, we're looking to complete that 5-mile stretch, converting that Lime Rock Road to a paved surface. And that'll be another great part of that trail. Greenway is a beautiful place, and we're lucky to have that for sure. And it's been a great partnership working with Mickey Thomason over the years. He's been a tremendous support for us executing these projects. We also get to collaborate and work with the horse community. That's a community that actively uses that facility as well.
Yeah, I live down actually by the Santos Trail, that paved portion of it. And you see riders, walkers, joggers, horses, and they're all, if you can do it, they really use that trail and they enjoy it.
Beautiful place.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
I love the canopies down there. So, you know, roads and trail projects are just a couple of your responsibilities as the county engineer. Talk about what all the position entails overall.
Well, yeah, we could do that. The big picture there for what we do is we handle roads, we handle traffic, stormwater, and design capital projects and rehabilitation. Our roads departments, we mow right-of-ways, we fill potholes, we cut trees, we handle the tough stuff you think about as it relates to right-of-way management. And very proud of the work they're doing out there every day in and day out. We're receiving phone calls, especially this time of year, as the weather gets a little bit rainy. Of course, day in and day out, we've got a lot of rain happening. And as events come up, as we get into hurricane season, which I've tried not to schedule hurricanes for this year.
Thank you.
Our team will be active and on deck to get out there and service our community like we need to. Of course, the traffic side of that, we've got signals that we maintain, signs that we're maintaining, handling all the striping and making sure our roads are safe for us. And from a stormwater side, we're managing mowing of our facilities, our stormwater DRAs, and that our watershed management programs. From a design services side, we're out developing roadway rehabilitation projects. You'll see contractors on the roads doing roadway reclamations or overlays, doing some widening projects. That's the rehabilitation side. As it relates to the growth side, in building new roadways, we manage our design consultants and our right-of-way acquisitions for growing our roadway network to better service our community.
And that's how your office is broken down, by stormwater and roads and traffic. You have all those different departments, I would imagine.
Yep. And we also have support services. Support services, that's going to be our customer service. As the calls come in, there are times where that's an absolute war room. And they do an outstanding job getting the calls brought into our department, sent out to where they needed to be, or if they need to go to another department, they coordinate getting that over to make sure it's addressed. And as you get into busy storm type activities, just recently been a couple weeks now, but we had a good couple of storms come through, and we dealt with 200 tree calls in a period of 48 hours. So.
And I saw the county was posting, I guess those are your guys out there clearing the roads and getting all the tree debris taken care of and working, you know, 24/7, it seemed like, to get everything kind of back to normal.
It's a great group in all our departments. Very lucky and blessed to be working with all of them. So
not only the roads growing, but we know Marion County is growing, and you probably know that better than most of us. How do you plan for that growth, and what all do you take into consideration as Marion County just explodes?
Well, we have development review within our department, and that's also handled under support services. So we've got a finger on the pulse of what's happening with it. That's a hardworking group right now with the amount of growth that's happening out there. But one thing we do is we coordinate with, we've started recently coordinating with growth services as well as utilities to understand the impacts of what's happening and how it relates to the big picture of our departments. And we vet what's happening between our groups and to better serve our community. So that's a process that's being driven out of necessity and being led by our administration and, of course, our county commission. So we're very proud to be participating in that activity and lucky to be doing it.
And I can imagine it would be a lot of collaboration. You mentioned growth services and utilities and making sure that everyone's on the same page and aware of the same projects and going forward, that everyone is on the same sheet of music, as they say.
Absolutely. Those different as different types of growth, different types of development, whether it's residential and industrial, our growth sides understand the nature of that and how we might need a certain type of facility to serve that area, and utilities going to understand the needs as it relates to water and sewer, and bringing us together to talk about it is a very positive thing.
That makes sense. So my last question for you, what are your favorite type of projects to work on? What do you just really enjoy doing?
I enjoy building roads, but any project that involves real teamwork and collaborating with other groups. Those are the ones I like to work on.
Well, you talked about road. Any good road improvements coming up that you're really excited about?
All got a lot.
Small question.
Yeah, that's a big question. But of course, we're working on the interchange up at 49th, the 49th Avenue corridor. We're in the design of a phase near the Dollar Tree, and that phase will extend the roadway from the Dollar Tree south to Marion Oaks Manor. Will connect 49th Avenue running north into town, and that northern section where we'll connect 49th into SPX, we're looking to have that design completed this fall and into bid. That's a very exciting project to me. That's one that's going to take a lot of pressure off of I-75 and those at 484 and help people move north and south on that southwest part of the county.
And I can imagine with all of the considerations, not only do you have residential considerations when it comes to traffic and roads, but now that you've got a lot of distribution centers, you have freight traffic as well.
Sure.
And so that's a lot of different considerations just for, I would imagine, you know, road size, placement, design, traffic flow, and all that.
Yep, absolutely. Our intersection design up at the 49th Avenue interchange, that interchange is going to be serving a big part of our freight community. Obviously, with the 489 to the east side of the interstate and 44th Avenue to the west, but then that transitions into the 80th Avenue corridor that runs down past WEC and then down towards Otto. There's a lot happening and a lot understanding that serves a big residential community, but then drains straight up into our freight community. That's the big things happening right now.
Well, thank you very much for, number one, not scheduling any hurricanes. I appreciate that. Yeah. And number two, for coming in and joining us here on the Marion Minute. That was Elton Holland, Marion County's engineer. Thanks, Elton.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your next opportunity to check out Marion County Commission Chair Carl Zalek III as he delivers a State of the County address will be Wednesday, July 27th at the VFW Post 10208 in Salt Springs. The address starts at 7 p.m. To learn more about what will be discussed and to get location directions, you can check out www.marionfl.org/SOC. That'll just about do it for this episode of the Marion Minute Podcast. On behalf of Marion County, we hope you enjoyed hearing about the different topics in this episode. As always, if you have any questions about anything we covered or would like additional information, you can always email publicrelations@marionfl.org. We also hope you have a great rest of your day in beautiful Marion County or wherever you're listening from. Until next time, so long, everybody.